Hi, my name is Zach Funk, and I am the student director here at Christ Church. We are in the middle of a series called Next Year People. We are so glad that you are joining us today. My scripture for today is Matthew 5, 10 through 16. Let's read this together. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. Be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets that were persecuted in the same way. You are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Hope. Hope in the culture is our topic today. But the word hope, that's a weird word, isn't it? I'm not sure everybody understands what that means. It's a word that gets used a lot, but do we truly understand what it is? We hear things like, I hope the Cardinals can beat the Cubs this year. Or more importantly, on a day like today, I really hope the Patriots don't win another Super Bowl. If you don't like football, maybe you're saying, I really hope that the commercials are really good today. Or that I really hope that that the halftime show is good. And then we hear things here at the church like, I hope that turns out for you. Or I hope that I'm a Christian. But what is this word hope? Right now we're in a series called Next Year People. It's based off of a song by Colin Hay called Next Year People. And this series is helping us identify that no matter how bad things are, no matter what life throws at us, no matter what storms we're going through or what self-inflicted wounds we're dealing with, that we are hardwired by God to be people of hope. We are next year people. In a moment, we're going to take a listen to a really good song. This song was recorded in 2014 by an up-and-coming British artist who is now taking the world by storm. He just added to his collection of Grammys by getting two more last week. This song is about hurt, time, culture, memories, and photographs. These are the exact things that we're going to be talking about today. Take a listen to Photograph by Ed Sheeran. In this world, there's not a lot of things that give us hope. However, with a world obsessed with cameras and photos, I think we can all relate to this concept of carrying around a photo in our pocket that gives us hope. Here are a few pictures that give me hope. The first one is this one. It's a picture of my wife and my boys. And we've got another boy on the way, so we're going to have three boys. And no matter how hard my day was or how bad my week is going, I know that I can come home to my amazing, awesome wife and our adorable kids. And that gives me hope. Another picture that gives me hope is this, the church. When I see a picture of Christ Church, that honestly gives me hope. I just picture the inside of the church packed with people. Our campus is packed with people that are coming to learn more about Jesus, and that gives me hope. Another one is this picture. As the student director here, I look at this picture, and it automatically gives me hope. These kids having the time of their life at our spring fling this year, where we had almost 200 students show up, and they heard the gospel, and they were excited about it. And you can see the excitement on their face from the night that they spent at church, and that gives me hope. The definition of hope for Christians is defined like this. It's the persistent optimism that is informed by our faith. I'll say it again. The persistent optimism that is informed by our faith. It's this no matter what, mentality, the push through for God kind of hope. This no matter what, we believe that God is for us. And that's the hope that we have in God, the faith that we have in God. Hope and culture is our topic. Culture with hope. Now, if I'm being honest, when I look at culture, I don't see a whole lot of things that have hope in them. If I'm being really honest, I struggle seeing hope in life sometimes, period. When I'm driving down the highway and people can't figure out how the left lane works, that it's the passing lane, I struggle that we are in fact intelligent beings. I struggle finding hope in that. I struggle with social media. I look at it and I see all the stupid and all the hate, and I struggle finding hope in that. I struggle with finances and planning for retirement and health insurance. It's hard for me to find hope in that. When I look at news and the media, it's really hard to see hope. When I see families wrestling with addictions, I struggle seeing hope. Marriage is falling apart and spouses walking away. Parents battling to figure out how to raise their kids in this crazy world and how priorities work for their family. Parents crying over wayward and prodigal children. Kids and students who are being led astray on a daily basis by media and social media, bullying, suicide, cutting, and depression. A struggle. Our kids have these ridiculous role models that our world treats as royalty. I struggle finding hope. House payments, maintaining used cars. I struggle finding hope. Nuclear war threats and a government that gets along as good as two toddlers fighting over a used toy. I struggle finding hope. Hollywood, human sexuality, and racial tensions. And when I look into the future and try to see what role the church has to play in our world, in our culture, I honestly struggle finding hope. You know, it's hard to be optimistic sometimes, even as a Christian. But what are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to just sit around and mope about it and keep adding to the list of hopelessness that's going on in our world? No. No. Because we are next year people. We're hardwired by God to be people of hope. So what do? In a world where the Christian voice isn't the voice anymore, but it's just a voice among voices, what are we called to do? Well, our passage today tells us what to do. We are to be salt and light to the world, preserving life, shining light into a dark world. You know what? We're redeemed. We are redeemed people. We have been forgiven and given a new life. All of our sin has been taken away. Our punishment has been wiped free. There's hope in that. If any other group of people on the planet should have more hope than anyone else, it should be Christians. Jesus has wiped the slate clean for us. And there is the hope. And that's what we're supposed to shine the light on into this dark world. In this series, we will talk about five steps that make us next year people. Let's take a look again at these five steps that help us to have hope. And when you're looking at these five steps, I want you to ask yourself this. How do we as next year people operate? How do we as next year people encounter the culture? Here are the five steps. Number one, stop. Two, control your impulses. Three, think. Four, choose. And five is to act. In a real way, I was able to apply these five steps. I recently went on a road trip with my road tripping buddy, my G-Unit, my grandma. We went to Notre Dame University because my cousin, her granddaughter, plays for the University of Tennessee, and they were playing at Notre Dame, and we both wanted to go. Beautiful campus at Notre Dame. And on the way there, I saw on the map that we were only 10 minutes off the highway from one of the nation's best-ranked campgrounds, Indiana Dune National or State Park. Awesome place. and I had to stop. So I told my grandma, I said, let's leave early, we'll stop at the park. Because our family loves to camp. We are super passionate about it. We spend a lot of time on the road camping and just getting away from busyness. We love to camp. So I said, let's just check it out. Me and you, we'll go check out the park, and then I'll see if it's somewhere we want to take the family. So we pull into the park, and it's covered in snow. We stop real quick at the information station, and I talked to this lady, and she was being real friendly about it. She said, yeah, go check out the campsites. Make sure to go and check out the beach, and make sure you stay off the shelf ice. And she said, if you go on the shelf ice, the Coast Guard won't even come to get you. She said, if you fall through the shelf ice, you'll just be gone. And I looked at her and I said, what is shelf ice? And she said something I didn't understand, and I didn't want to act stupid, so we just parted ways. I get back in the car with my road tripping buddy, and we drive around, we look at all the sights, and then we finally get to the beach. And when we get to the beach, we see this, the sign, stay off the shelf life, don't risk your ice, in this beautiful backdrop of these sand dunes on the beach and Lake Michigan. And I was dead set as this passionate explorer. I love going out. I love seeing stuff. So I said, let's get out there. Let's go see the beach. My grandma stayed in the car, but I started walking. So I get out, and I'm walking through the snow, and I see all these big footprints in the snow. So I'm walking through there because I'm not dressed to be tromping around in snow. I've got my Tennessee orange shoes on, and I'm just tromping through the snow. And all of a sudden, the footsteps stop right before the sand dune. And I look to my right, and there's this creek, like this water flowing pretty good, like 10 feet away from me. And I kind of get this uneasy feeling. Like, why is there water flowing next to me if we're on a beach? It's all this snow, and I'm looking at the shelf ice, and my heart says, Zach, go, poof, go right over the sand dune and get to the beach, because you just want to see it. So sprint over it, look at Lake Michigan, and then come back. Just make it quick. My head says, stop. So I stop for a second. I'm looking around. I cannot see my grandma anymore. The car, I can't see anymore. And knowing the fact that she can't see me really made me feel uneasy. So I pick up my phone and I called the lady back at the information desk at the information station. And I say, ma'am, I don't want to sound ignorant, but I have only seen Lake Michigan from Chicago when it's been warm outside. And I still don't understand this concept of shelf ice. And I said, I saw the sign, and I'm not going to risk my life. I'm not going to go out on the ice. But I just need to know, is it cool if I go over these sand dunes and go into the beach? I'm about to go over the sand dunes right now. I'm talking to you as I'm about to walk over them. She goes, whoa, stop. What sand dunes are you talking about? I said, the ones on the beach. And she said, sir, those are not sand dunes. That is shelf ice. Please don't walk on that. The interesting thing about this is that it had been warmer the last few days at the park than it had been in weeks. And the water was starting to flow. The ice was starting to melt. And I was standing on ice, literally feet away from going over the top of the shelf ice. And if I would have gone on top of it, there's a pretty great chance that I would have died. And that had never really happened to me before, to be in that situation. So now I'm standing where I know is ice, and I start walking back to the car, and my leg goes through the ice, and not into water, but about 3 feet down into some more ice. And I'm running back off the ice, and I finally get back on the pavement, and I can breathe again. A little bit more hope standing where I was standing. And I say all that to point out these facts, that these five steps are legit. When we look at our lives, we get into a hairy situation, we need to stop. Whether it's with our families or with our spouses or at work, stop. If you're in a place where you can't see hope, stop. Control your impulses. Do not run over the dune. Stop, control your impulses. Think. How can you gain more knowledge in this situation? Maybe you need to pick up the phone and phone a friend. After you think, you need to choose. Are you going to listen to somebody's advice or are you not? Are you going to go over the dunes or are you not? And then you need to act. Walk back. Something I've noticed in my life and in the life of others around me is this. It is really hard to have hope when we are consistently putting ourselves in hopeless situations. I put myself in a hopeless situation. I couldn't see hope. We're better off to not put ourselves in those situations. There's much more hope when we are standing on solid ground. As soon as I got off the ice and I was standing back on the cement pad where the parking lot was, my hope restored in my life and I felt much, much better. I'm just now reading, or I just now finished a book, a fascinating book called The Power of Habit. It was super intriguing. It talks about that our lives are made up by habits. Good habits and bad habits, and habits that you didn't even know that you had. Such as, do you put your right shoe on first or your left shoe on first? Do you brush your teeth before or after you shower? Do you brush your teeth before or after you eat? Do you pass McDonald's on the way to work every day or do you stop? Do you go to Starbucks or do you not? Do you pass the donut box in the office at work or do you indulge in the sugary treat? Some interesting facts about habits. Your brain can't tell the difference between a bad and a good habit. It's just a habit. And you can't extinguish a bad habit. You can only change it. And that habits are made up of a three-part loop. And today, we're going to break down that loop because I can tell that if we can break down a habit, we can get in there, we can mess with the gears a little bit, fiddle with the gears, we can change some habits in our life. We can establish a hope habit in our life. The first thing about a habit, the first part in a three-part loop is the cue. A cue is a trigger that tells your brain to go into an automatic mode in which habit to use. So a cue in the morning is when you wake up and you have film on your teeth and you feel like you need to do something about that. The routine, could be mental or physical or emotional, is to get up and brush your teeth. And you'd be amazed by all the habits that there are around brushing your teeth or showering or eating. And then the reward helps you figure out if this particular habit is worth remembering in the future or not. So the reward for brushing your teeth is good, clean mouth, a good white smile, and better breath. And then after you do that for a while, you establish something called a habit loop, where the cue feeds into the routine, into the reward, and you do this over and over and over again until you establish a solid habit. In January, a lot of people try to get on the board with habits and resolutions. And I saw a lot of people trying to establish a Bible reading habit for 1 year. I'm not a one-year Bible reading guy. I've tried it before, and I lose interest about halfway through or even beforehand. So I said, I'm going to do that this year, but I'm going to do it in 90 days. I found a 90-day entire Bible reading plan straight through the Bible. And I thought it was going to be ridiculous, and we would give up. Me and a buddy are doing it together. We are loving it. We are just eating this up. It's an hour a day of reading, but we're doing it. And it's been life-changing. It's a habit that I have instilled in our lives now. And we have a cue every day. We have a daily reminder that reminds us to read our Bible. And with our routine, I have to check in with him every day. How's your Bible reading going? I have a routine of waking up early to get it done, a routine of being in God's word. And my reward is knowledge from God's word, spending time with God in his word, and this sense of accomplishment that I get from doing something that's a pretty big deal. But on day 27 or so, I realized something pretty cool that was happening in my life. I had added a pretty big thing to my life by spending an hour in God's word every day, but other things had gotten better as well. So my gym time was better. I was spending more time at the gym. My eating was better. I was reading more books. I was working on my porch project at home more. And I was at home with my family more. And I didn't realize what I had done, but I had done something I was learning in this book called I had developed a keystone habit. Take a look at this. A keystone habit is a habit that affects other habits. It leads to the development of good habits. And I want to challenge you guys today. You individually, I want to challenge you to establish a hope habit, a cue, a routine, and a reward all centered around having hope in your life. So the next time you are faced with a cue, which is an opportunity to choose hope or despair, I pray that you would choose hope. even in the simplest things. If you're driving down the highway and somebody's in the left lane doing 52 in a 65 and you drive up next to them, they finally get over and you're honking at them and they finally get next to you and you look at them and you go, you go to my church. I was just honking to say, hey, we'll see you on Sunday and praise Jesus. Jesus loves you. Choose hope. But for real, if we are talking about real stuff, a real cue, next time you're at work and life is not working for you at your job, you're going to choose despair or you're going to choose hope. That's a cue. You have an option. If your marriage is struggling, that's a cue. You have an option. If your family is hurting, that's a cue. You have an option, a routine that you can get into. If life is just super hard on you right now, that's a cue. And you have an option. So we have our cues, which leads us to our routine. So what are we called to do as a routine as Christians? Take a look at this. We have three things. We have scripture, we have our five steps, and then we have this no matter what attitude. Let's take a look at scripture. What does scripture tell us to do about hope? Romans 15:4 tells us this. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scripture, we might have hope. We're supposed to be in the scripture. Is that a surprise? No. But a lot of us as Christians, we're not doing it. We've got to be in God's word. If we want to have a hopeful life, we want to hear from God. Hey, I haven't heard from you lately, God. When was the last time you were in his word? Get in the word. Number two, if we want to establish a hope habit routine, is to get these five steps down. These are real. So get in the word. Then if you're in a situation, you need to choose hope. Stop. Control your impulses. Think about the situation. Really think. Especially you guys. We struggle with this. Think it through. Right? Then you're going to choose. Then you're going to act. The last part of this routine is developing this no matter what mindset. I was talking to a friend this week about this hope. And she said she was going through some storms, some really hard times in life. And if anybody had the opportunity or whatever to say that they gave up, it was her. And she said, I choose hope. No matter what. No matter what the doctor says, no matter what is happening in my life, I choose hope. No matter what God has planned for my life, I choose hope. And the cool thing about the no matter what mentality is that if you choose to say no matter what, you're going to live for God. No matter what, you believe in God. No matter what, you have hope, fear, and everything else takes a back seat to hope. Our reward. So we've established our cue. We've established our routine. What is our reward? If you get through the routine of scripture, five steps, and the no matter what mentality, what's your reward? It's true hope. That's not something we see every day. We live in a hopeless society. Everybody's in despair. You can have true hope and you can shine that light to other people. Hope in Jesus. And then I think something cool will happen. You establish a hope habit, that will create a keystone habit in your life. Everything else in your life will start to fall into place. I challenge y'all to join me in this. I challenge you to establish a hope habit in your life because we are next year people. We are people of hope. We've been redeemed. As we close today, I want to pull out one more photograph, one more picture that gives me hope. It's this picture of our youth group packed out on a Wednesday night to hear the gospel. I recently was out playing darts with my accountability partner, and I walked in to the place, and this guy comes running towards me, a friend, an old friend. I haven't seen him in 3 to 4 years. We used to be in a high school kind of youth group together, and he just beelines towards me when he sees me, and he wraps me up in this big man hug, looks me straight in the face. He says, man, I haven't been going to church in a while, but man, when you post those pictures of your youth group with all those students there and all those kids, man, that's really cool. And man, that gives me hope. And when he said that that gave him hope, that gave me hope. The cooler part about this is that this guy doesn't even live around here. He lives in Tennessee now. And so through a photograph, he was seeing that God was doing a work through our church, and that gave him hope. And that gives me hope. I challenge you today to establish a hope habit, to find a photograph that gives you hope. I challenge you to be salt and light in a world where people prefer ranch dressing in darkness. Be salt and light. Be next year people. Why don't you and I be a light for Christ? And remember, stay off the shelf ice. Let's pray. God, thank you so, so much for who you are. Thank you that in a world where we could give up and we live in darkness, we don't have to. That we can choose you, that we can choose hope, that we can choose to be salt and light. And when we are salt and light to people over and over and over again, that we choose not to hide our faith, hope will come through that. If we can get in your word, that's where we hear from you. God, encourage us to be in your word. Encourage us through your word. Help us to develop these no matter what mentalities, these five steps. Help us, God, to just draw closer to you. If we draw near to you, you will draw near to us. So God, I pray that we would do that. I pray that you would put that burden on our hearts. I pray that you would use us to be light in this world. Help us to be beacons of hope in a dark world. We love you, God. We praise you. We thank you for all that you're doing. In your name, amen.